to have you here with us this morning. Thank you. We haven't done a call to worship with the choir in a while, and so we wanted to change things up for just a moment. But I want to welcome those who are on all of our social media platforms there. Be sure to heart, to like, to follow, to share, subscribe, make comments there. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service. Thank you for being there also. If you are at home and you have access to the internet, we encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today. You can download the children's worship bulletins. If you're here in person, these are at the doors as well as in the windowsills to my right and my left. The children's worship bulletins are in the windowsill to my right. And so be sure to grab those, download those if you're at home, send those links to anybody that you want. If you're a guest here this morning, we want to encourage that you would pick up one of the gift bags that are on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave in the hallways. Be sure to grab one of those. It has some information in it about our church. It has some gifts that we want to give to you. So we just want to encourage you. If you brought someone with you, make sure that they get one this morning also. But glad to have everybody who's here this morning. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our first hymn.
Good morning, all. That song we just sang had a lot of repeats in it, and Brother Jim's always saying that in the Bible, when there's a lot of repeats, if it repeats itself over and over again, it's important. That song was a good indication of that, and this next song, if you'll stand with us, it's got a lot of repeats in it, too. So stand, and let's sing together, Alleluia, all four of the verses. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Amen. We've come to our missionary moment, as you'll notice there in your bulletins. Our missionaries of the week are John and Tiffany Joe. They are serving with the North American Mission Board in Downers Grove, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. It was there that they planted 168 Community Church in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. And their focus from day one has been to be intentionally meeting the needs of their community. One of the things that they do is to partner with an autism school, and God has opened up many opportunities there. John has also been teaching the congregation as the pastor there to get involved in the lives of their new neighbors, inviting them to get involved in their daily lives and sharing the love of Jesus along the way. So they are asking that we would pray that the Lord will give the Joes wisdom as they seek to plant gospel seeds in the suburb there of Chicago in Downers Grove. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for them. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for our missionaries, those who have answered the call, whether it's to go here in the States or whether it's to go somewhere around the world. Father, we thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for them answering that call, Lord. We pray for your provisions for them. We pray for your protection over them. We pray, Lord, that you would open up opportunities for them like never before as they share the gospel. We especially pray, Lord, for John and Tiffany Joe. We pray, God, that you would be with them and their family. Bless them, God, in a special way. And we pray that as they are meeting to worship this morning, may they know that there are Southern Baptist churches all across this nation who are praying for them. Lord, we pray not only for them and our North American missionaries, we also pray for all of our international missionaries. We pray, God, you lay a special blessing upon each one of them. We pray, God, that you would be with our own people, Lord, that are on a mission trip, the Thames. They are in Canada, and so we pray, God, that you would bless them, watch over them, be with that team from our association, and we just ask, God, that you'll provide for their safety back. We thank you for what you've done in the lives of our youth who'll be sharing next week about their trip to camp this summer. Father, I thank you for the changes that you've made in their lives. And Father, we just expectantly look forward to hear the great and mighty things that you're doing in and through our youth ministry. And we ask, Lord, that as we come to worship you, whether it's in song or in the word that we'll hear preached, Lord, that you would use it to speak to our hearts, to bring those who are lost to faith in Christ and to strengthen the faith of those who are in Christ. And so we ask your blessings on this service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, we want to remind you that you can do your giving. If you notice in the pews in front of you, you should see some offering envelopes. If you don't, there are some in the windowsills as well as at the doors. Grab one of those. If you're at home, you can go to our website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side. You can click that Give Online tab. You can do that even here in person. If you need to do that, you can set up a one-time gift, a recurring gift. You can designate your gifts there. But encourage you to give your offering this morning. Before you leave, you can place it in the offering plates at the front or their offering plate at the doors as you leave. I want to remind you also still about our Hoosier One emphasis, these blue papers over here on the cross. We encourage you to still fill those out. You grab one of these from down front here. On the blue part on the back, you write the name of an individual you want us to be praying for their salvation for. And then you just tear that perforated part off, place it in the offering plate. We'll get another card that we'll make for you, for others, a white card for people to pray for. But you keep this part of it to pray through that 30 days for that individual, as others will be praying for those that you've listed on that. And then we also have some index cards that we want to encourage you. We've been asking people to ask people, whether it's your neighbors, whether it's somebody out in the community, how can I pray for you? Hoping that that will open up some gospel conversations for you to have with people. If you do that, we want to encourage you to pick up one of these cards, maybe pick up some beforehand, and go ahead and fill those out when you think about it when that happens, because we want to be able to share with others and encourage others how easy that is to share the good news of the gospel with others and what it leads to with other opportunities. So we would ask you to share your experience and what maybe the person said or maybe what you said on that card. And then also one final thing, if you've been considering joining our church or you just want to find out some more information about our church, or if you've maybe been a member but you've never taken our new member class, that I would highly encourage you to consider coming on Sundays at 9:15 upstairs. Brother Tommy Griffin teaches that class. It's only a four-week lessons there, but you're going to receive a wonderful blessing there. You may even learn some things, some new things, even if you're a member. member, but want to encourage you to come and participate in that. That's at 9:15 every Sunday morning upstairs with Brother Tommy's class. Encourage you to do that if you're considering joining, if you just want to know about our church, or even if you've never taken that class as a new member. Brother Mike?
Well, we sing about Christ being the King of our heart. We've praised Him through Alleluia, and now we're going to praise Him with worthy of worship and worthy of praise. So join the choir as we sing hymn number 3, Worthy of Worship. Children's Church will be gathering over here by the piano during this next song. And if you would, stand and sing with hymn 227, if I can find it. 227, Praise Him, Praise Him. Ms. Pat. Thank you.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will. You'll remember if you were here last week, we began a new series last week called The Summer in the Psalms. The message this morning comes from Psalm chapter 5. Last week we were in Psalm chapter 2, so we'll be looking at several different psalms throughout this series. But I can tell you that all of these psalms are going to focus us on Jesus and who he is for our lives. And so that's why this message this morning is entitled Praise Him. We need to be praising him, magnifying him, glorifying him in all of our hearts and our lives. So we're going to read the whole chapter in its whole context here so that you can get the whole emphasis of it. But Psalm chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 12, would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? To the choir master for the flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels because of the abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we do come before you praying this prayer that David prays in this psalm. Lord, we come to you expectantly looking for you to answer our prayers, no matter what trouble or trial or tribulation we are going through, no matter what is happening around our nation or even around the world. Lord, we come to you in prayer to praise your name for who you are and for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. So Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me just remind you that you can go to the Bible app and search our church on there. When you do and set our church there, it will, as your church, it will show you the Bible study that we're going through right now. We're reading through the Psalms in a month. You can start that anytime you want, even though some of us have already started that together. There's a place at the end of each daily reading that you can make some comments there of what God has spoken to you through those verses. And I encourage you to take the time to do that. When you come to Psalm chapter 5, David here is praying for God to rescue him from his enemies. Now, we're not sure exactly because there's nothing in the superscription here. Many times it'll tell us in that little part here that tells us to the choir master for the flutes, a psalm of David. It'll tell us in there what the setting was, what was the occasion that David was writing this or whoever might have been writing a particular psalm. We're not sure what was happening in David's life at this point because the superscription doesn't give us that historical information. But whatever the situation was, one of the things we see here is that David's confidence stands out. He's certain that God is going to rescue him. And we're going to see here in verse 8, go back to verse 8 with me, if you will. Verse 8, he cries out to the Lord and says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." What David is calling out to the Lord here, and this is the central part of this prayer, is he is seeking wisdom and guidance from the Lord for his journey in life. He needed to know, how do I cope with those who want to bring harm to my life? How do I cope with a world that seems to be falling apart all around me? You know, people today are worried about the current events that surround us, the things that happened yesterday with the assassination attempt on our former president. Inflation and all of that that's going on, that's continued to rise, but jobs continue to increase, but others are losing their jobs. Interest rates are higher than they've been in decades, but the stock market continues to climb. Politics seem to be out of control. The nations of the world continue to spiral further and further into conflict and wars. There are more refugees from war-torn countries today than ever before. Our government sometimes seems to be on shaky ground. So much uncertainty. It's almost as if our foundations are being destroyed. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to make sure that the foundation stays firm, especially in our hearts and our lives, because we're to be a witness in the midst of the darkness all around us. Now, if we're unshaky, then the world's surely going to be unshaky. When the world is unshaky, they're looking for hope somewhere, and they need to be looking to us who are pointing them to Christ. Now, this morning, your mind might not be on the collapse of America. Your mind might be on your job security. It might be on paying your bills or simply just keeping up with your mortgage. You may be experiencing some challenges in your life. Understand this, your enemy is trouble. Remember what Job said? Job said this in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Man is born into trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. He said this in Job 14 verse 1. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. I don't know about you, but my life is full of trouble. Your life is full of trouble. What we need to learn is what David had learned, and it's that we can have a confident hope in God no matter the circumstances, no matter the troubles, no matter the trials that we face, because we have a God who loves us, a God who provides for us, a God who protects us. David knew that God is bigger than any trouble you may face as an individual, any trouble that our nation may face, and any troubles that this world may face. He knew that our God is bigger than our troubles, more powerful than our enemy. So what did David do? He did two things. He prayed and he went to church. Notice verse 7. Verse 7 he says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down, that's praying there, towards your holy temple in fear of you. The temple there being for us today, church. So let me say this morning, you've come to the right place this morning. David knew that in God's house there were some answers, and you may be looking for some answers this morning. God has some answers for you today. The question for us today is, when we know the enemy is closing in, when we know temptation is staring us in the face, when our world is crumbling around our heads and our enemy has put a target on us, what do we do? Where do we go? How should we respond? One thing we do know about this setting of this psalm is that David felt like his enemy was hunting him down, wanted to destroy him, is closing in, and his soul was troubled. What did he do? How did he respond? Well, there are five things I want you to see from this psalm that we can learn from this prayer of David that need to be a part of our relationship and our prayer to God. The first thing we see that he did and that we need to do is to talk to the Lord. That's the very first place we need to go. We need to turn to the Lord. So often we want to turn to self-help books. We want to turn to the world. We want to know what the latest psychologist has to say, when we need to be turning and talking to the Lord. Notice again verse 1 down through verse 2 here. When those who wanted to hurt him were closing in and the stress was mounting, David did what all of us should do. He takes it to the Lord. He asks God to hear his prayer. He pleads with God to pay attention to his voice, to answer him. Look at the number of times he makes the request to be heard in verse 1 and verse 2 again. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. Notice he makes two interesting pleas here. One is this: give ear to my words. That's to say, I verbalize with my mouth what I put together in my coherent thought. And then he says, give attention to the sound of my cry, my groanings, those thoughts, the innermost rumblings of my mind and my heart that are so deep and so painful, so scattered that you can't even put those words into a complete thought. God wants to hear the inarticulate murmuring of an agonized soul. I mean, think about this. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were hurt or you were frightened? Something happened and it scared you to death, and you run to your mom and your dad, tears are streaming down your face, your mind's racing, your body's shaking, and you're just trying to tell them, let me tell you, and you just can't get those words out. You're just overwhelmed. It comes out as a jumbled mess because you can't calm down and you can't stop crying. And then they would tell you to do what you couldn't do. What would they tell you? Stop crying. And you couldn't stop crying. They would tell you to stop crying, and they would tell you to tell them what was wrong. Here is David, who's coming before God, asking God to listen to understand the cries, those shaking, unintelligible noise of his soul, because he knew that what might have been impossible for a mom and dad to discern was not impossible for God. Because God understands our groans when you don't even know the words to put together to say to him. He understands the sighs of your heart. He understands your cries. Paul wrote it this way in Romans chapter 6, or chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. He said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He said, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So understand this, take it to God. Even if you don't know what to say, even if you don't know how to phrase it, even if you can't describe it, or you don't know what to ask for, God knows our needs. He knows our hearts, and he knows what is best. There may be days when we feel like, God, when? There may be days when we feel like, God, how long? There may be days where we question if it's going to happen, but we pray, we're to pray and take it to God and trust God to set things right. Notice a few things here about his talk with God, about his prayer. Notice David prayed boldly in verse 1 and verse 2. The Hebrew word there for give ear literally means to broaden the ear with their hand. It's kind of like when you take your hand and you cup it around your ear because you want to hear what somebody's saying. He's saying to God, God, would you put your hand around your ear? I want you to be sure to hear what I'm having to say. That's the expression he uses here. Lord, put your hand behind your ear so you can hear better what I've got to say. Then he says the words, give attention. That's even more daring. It's a Hebrew word that means to prick up the ear. It's kind of like when a dog suddenly lifts its ear to hear a sound that escapes the human ear. And that's what David is asking God to do. He's using that kind of language that tells us that without being irreverent, David approaches God with a holy boldness. And he says, Lord, put your hands around your ear and listen carefully. But let your ears prick up, Lord, because I want you to hear everything I have to say. And then we come to verse 3, and we see he prayed persistently in the beginning of verse 3. In verse 3, he said, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice." That phrase, "in the morning," is more than just a descriptor of the time that David was praying. It carries with it the idea that as soon as it's morning, and it carries with it also the idea of every morning. It reminds us that Jesus is teaching about the unjust judge who didn't want to help a poor widow, but eventually she keeps pleading with him and pleading with him, and to get her to stop with her constant pleas, he gives her the answer, gives her some justice. And Jesus concluded in Luke chapter 18 and verse 7 and says, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" The point was that we're to be persistent in prayer, even if for unknown reasons to us, the answer of God is delayed, because God will not refuse to act forever. If you remember the great founder of the orphanages in England, George Mueller, in the 19th century, if you've never read about him, I'd encourage you to look up some books on him and read about his story. He saw some great answers to prayer, even though some of his answers were delayed. When he was quite young, he began to pray for two of his friends, and he prayed for them every day for more than 60 years to come to faith in Christ. One was converted just before Mueller's death at what was probably the last preaching service that Mueller ever held. The other one was converted within a year of Mueller's passing. Sometimes you keep on praying and you keep on praying, and you may not be around to see the answer be fulfilled for that prayer, but God hears and God will answer. Luke 18:1 teaches us that we ought always to pray and not give up. He was persistent in his prayers. But notice he also prayed expectantly. When you pray, you ought to have a confidence that God hears you and know that he's going to answer. And that may not be the answer you like, but you need to pray expectantly that he's going to answer. Because notice what he says at the end of verse 3. He says, "I prepare a sacrifice for you, and watch," or wait. Another translation says, "I wait in expectation." That means that when David prays about his situation here before the Lord, he was praying in faith, because having laid his request out before God, he expects God to answer. Now, in that waiting, he's not saying, "God, now you've got to do it this way and do this thing and do this thing, or it's not the answer that I want." It just says he waits. He just watches for what God's going to do. It's like James chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind." Oh, how often our prayers are like that. "Lord, I hope you will. I hope you'll answer. Lord, I just don't know." God will answer. Like we said, it may not be the answer you're wanting, but he will answer. And so he prayed expectantly. We need to pray expectantly. The second truth we need to learn from this prayer is not only to talk to the Lord, but to see the Lord. So he's waiting, he's watching. All too often we see the God of love throughout the scripture, and we don't focus on his judgment. We like the God of love. That's what we want. We want God's love, but we don't want his discipline. Nobody ever wanted that as a kid. You never wanted your mom and dad, "Hey, mom and dad, can you spank me today? I know I'm gonna do some bad things. Could you go ahead and do that?" You knew you were gonna do it. No, we never went to our parents like that. We were always trying to find some way that we could weasel out of it, some loophole in the rules that we could say, "Well, I didn't do this," to try to get out of it. And so all too often, we don't look at God's judgment. We have a problem reconciling the two. If you wait for the Lord and watch for the Lord to answer your prayers expectantly, then you will see the Lord and you will see his perspective. Notice verse 4 down through verse 6. We'll just read verse 4 and verse 5 to start with. So verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you." So understand that a holy God is just and righteous in who he is and in all that he does. He has no pleasure in a wicked person because that wicked person is wicked in both their character and in their conduct. Psalm 34:21 says that such persons hate the righteous. And so God is displeased with them. Not only is God displeased with the wicked, he will not dwell with them. As verse 4 says, evil may not dwell with you. It cannot stay in his presence. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, one of those little Old Testament books there, the prophet said this, "You who are of purer eyes, you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong." Evil will never be welcomed or at home with God. We understand that. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more sin, no more suffering. But even now, in the presence of God, there cannot be sin. So if there's sin that you're holding on to in your heart and in your life, you need to come and confess those things before the Lord in your prayer. He will not dwell with your wickedness. In fact, the Bible tells us that. That if you regard iniquity in your heart, if you hold on to that sin within your heart, God will not hear your prayers from heaven. It's like a block in the line, in the phone line between you and the Lord. Notice he says also that God will dishonor them in verse 5. "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes." Notice there the focus on the boastful, the proud, the arrogant. Those who are prideful and arrogant will never enjoy a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. Their only stand before him will be in judgment. God will dishonor them, but he also will disdain them. As verse 5 goes on to say, "You hate all evildoers." Now, that last phrase of verse 5 there may catch us by surprise because it says there that our loving, gracious God hates all evildoers. The God who loved this world in John 3:16 hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through verse 19 can help us to understand this psalm because it also focuses on wicked actions. The Bible says in Psalm 6, or Proverbs 6, verse 16, "There are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him: haughty or prideful eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." To truly love God is to reject all that's evil. And yet in our world wants to say evil is good and good is evil. God hates sin. And so should we. We want to whitewash over what sin is. We want to say, you ever heard that phrase? You know, you heard it before. It's just a little white lie, as if there's different colors of lies. It's just a little white lie. It's not that bad. Or we say, everybody else is doing it. Why didn't they get in trouble? Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters what you're doing before your holy and righteous God. So to love God is to reject all that is evil. Notice also here that it says God will destroy them. Verse 6, "You destroy those who speak lies." I don't know about you, but that is fearful to read that. When you are speaking lies, you're in danger of God's judgment. He's saying he will destroy those who speak lies. He's talking about the sins of the tongue again. Verse 5 talked about boastful, arrogant talkers. Here it's talking about liars. The Lord will destroy those who tell lies. In other words, he will not let their wicked words go unpunished. Simply put, he'll destroy them in a righteous, holy, and just judgment. And then it says in verse 6 that he despises them. Notice that the Lord abhors. That's a strong word for hates. The Lord hates or abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man, the violent and the treacherous people. The bloodthirsty murder with their hands, the deceitful murder with their tongues. Both are violent. Both are treacherous acts. The Lord hates and will destroy all who live lives of such evil and wickedness. Now understand this, God loves sinners because at one point in your life, you were an enemy of Christ, but in your sin, he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. So God loves sinners, but God hates sin. And that's what we need to see in our prayer as we see the Lord. Sometimes his answer may come in a loving way to us. Sometimes his answer may come in a discipline to us. But notice in verse 7 through verse 8, our third thing we need to learn from this prayer, and that's to follow the Lord in his righteous ways. Notice verse 7. He says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you." That word "but" in verse 7, we've said this many times, that word "but" is a great word in the Bible. Because many times it's laying out, here's the negative things that could happen to you, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 7, that word "but" makes all the difference in the world. This is the story of God's love, his mercy, and his grace. That even though we were sinners separated from God, he reached down and he rescued us and he cleansed us and he welcomed us in and made us new. We've been transformed by God's love. What was David relying on in his prayer here? He was relying on the goodness of God, on the grace of God, on the loving kindness of his God. Apart from that, apart from God's gracious provision, we have no hope in this life of entering God's presence or receiving God's blessing and receiving his promise. And then in verse 8, there David makes a rather interesting request. "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." In the middle of this trial, in the middle of this prayer, David prays, "Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to do what's wrong, even though things are falling apart around me. I want to honor you even in this storm." What a great prayer. We all want God to deal with our enemies and our troubles and our trials in this life. We want God to calm the storm. But how often do we pray, "God, keep us from sin. Lord, keep us from the wrong things of this world," while we walk through life's difficulties? You know, we want God to remove the difficulty. And God says, "You're going to have to go through this one, but I'll be there with you and I'll walk with you." Often we say, "God, life is hard. Don't let me dishonor you. Don't let me sin. Lead me into the right path so I can walk in righteousness and honor you." We need God to lead us, and that ought to be the prayer of our heart that David is praying here. "Lord, I want to follow you no matter what's happening around me in the circumstances of this world." And then you come to verse 9 and verse 10, and we learn that we ought to watch the Lord. Watch the Lord deal with the rebellious. Notice verse 9, "For there is no truth in their mouth," the wicked. "Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels because of the abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against you." So David again addresses the wickedness here, the evil heart. These people may be David's enemies, but their sin and their rebellion are ultimately against God. And so these verses here are speaking of our enemies in plural terms, but it pictures them as having one body, one heart, one mouth. Our enemies, those that seek to harm us spiritually, they may not look alike for each one of us in particular, but they share the same purpose. They share the same goal. They want to rob us. They want to destroy us. They want to kill. Isn't that what it says about the enemy? He roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may kill, devour, to steal, to kill. And yet because of ourselves, we still struggle. We're prone to wander. We're prone to respond in ways that are not Christ-honoring. And at times, we tend to be directionally challenged when it comes to finding the right way. God's Word is there to lead us and guide us. Isn't that what the Psalms tells us? It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You ought to be in God's Word so that in the dark world around you, you have a guide for you. You know, to find the right way, the right course of action. We need God to lead us because others will lead you astray. Others will lead your children astray. Our enemies are not reliable. We need a guide for this life. And because this life is most certainly not a self-guided tour, you need God's presence in your life. So you need to follow Him, but you need to also watch for Him. And then we come to the last part here, that we need to shout to the Lord. So David comes through all of this. He began by expressing to God that prayer that was unspeakable before the Lord. Lord, hear. Lord, listen. Lord, and understand the groanings, the cry. And then now we come to verse 11 and verse 12. Most famous 19th century evangelist, D.L. Moody, he once said this, "Hope in yourself and you're doomed to disappoint. Hope in your friends and they will die and leave you. Hope in your reputation, and some slanderous tongue will malign you. But hope in God, and you will never be disappointed, not in time or eternity." How can we shout with joy in the midst of trouble? How could David, when it seemed like his enemies were pressing in, the world, weight of the world was on his shoulders, how could he shout with joy in the midst of trouble? Here's how. Because when we trust the Lord, no, He can protect us. Verse 11. "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." It's kind of like an eagle spreading its wings over her young. God spreads His covering of protection over those who seek Him in prayer, depend on His mercy, and those who ask for His guidance. He spreads His protection over those who trust in Him. And that's how you can shout in the midst of your trouble. Because when we love the Lord, He will bless us. Verse 12, He says, "For you bless the righteous." So it's not that you're doing good things to earn that blessing. He's saying here, it's not that you're doing those things to earn that blessing. God is giving that blessing because of what is in your heart. The transformation that's happened in your heart, that you're just living righteous, and so for you will bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. So remember those five things. Talk to the Lord. See the Lord. Follow the Lord. Watch the Lord. And you have everything in this world to shout to the Lord for, because He has delivered you from your greatest enemy, that of sin, death, hell, and the grave. It's often in our darkest times that God makes His presence known most clearly. He uses our sufferings and our troubles to show us that He is the only source of strength for our lives. If we're facing a great trial, then take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for His timing, and He will give you a song in the night. One like this. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, All is at rest, I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So understand this, that even though we may be living in some of the most stressful times that you've lived in your life, we have to understand that nothing is so bad that God cannot help us with it. That's our confident hope. That's why we praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Let's praise Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for the blessing of this message. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that You have spoken to our hearts. Father, I pray that there would be those who may be here without Christ who would turn in their hearts to Him today, realizing, Lord, that if they were to leave this service this morning, there is no promise of eternity for them if they don't trust by faith in Jesus. Father, I pray that they would call out to You and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. I believe He was resurrected from the grave on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and save me and help me to live for You all the days of my life. And so, Father, I pray that if there is someone who's prayed something like that in their own hearts this morning, and they meant that with all sincerity, Father, I pray they would come to publicly profess that faith in Christ. Father, I pray they'll walk down this aisle during this invitation. Father, I pray for others who You may be speaking to their hearts about coming to join this fellowship. Lord, continue to work in their hearts and to give them that clarity that they need about what Your will is. And Father, I pray this morning for those who are Christians this morning. I pray we've been encouraged by this passage, that as difficult as things may seem around us, and it seems like every day it gets worse, just when we thought it was getting better, Father, I pray that we would take heart and take encouragement to know You're still in control, and there's nothing in our lives that You're not greater than, nothing in our lives that You cannot answer. And so, Father, we come before You seeking Your answer, seeking Your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If God's spoken to your heart, we encourage you to come in this invitation. As we stand, as we sing number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, will you make your way and come? Brother Mike, if you'll lead us.
Dark.
Johnny's going to be coming to give us our announcements. But before he did that, I wanted to share with you, the Wednesday night crowd heard this. If you didn't watch our Wednesday night service, you can go ahead and make your way, Johnny. I did see the cardiologist this last Monday, and like I told everybody Wednesday night, he said, I do have a heart. So, contrary to what my wife may say. He also said that everything was good with my heart. He said, I do have a slightly enlarged left aorta. The right tricuspid valve is trace leaky, but he said that 70% of people my age have that. And so he said, everything is great. And with everything there, he said it's good. They had checked for blockages, hardening of arteries, weak heart, heart attacks, all those kinds of things with that test, and everything was good. He did say that I do have sleep apnea, which I'd already had an appointment scheduled for August the 6th with the sleep doctor. So just want to say thank you so much for your prayers, and I'll be following up with them on August the 6th with that. Blood pressure's doing great, best it's ever done, Samantha says, and so is my sugar's doing excellent also. Lost 50 pounds in just over a year and hope to lose another 50. So thank you so much for your prayers for us during this time. Brother Johnny.
Church, I just want to personally thank you for your prayers this past week as the youth were at camp. They were very much needed. And also want to remind you that men's breakfast is next Saturday. So if you could please help out with that, I'd be glad to have you. And I don't have a sign-up sheet out there yet, but if you can message me or Brother Stan or Steve Connor, that'd be great. Let us know you're planning on coming. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Got a couple of prayer concerns I need to share with you. Number one, George Duncan, we need to remember George in prayers. He will be having surgery on the 16th of this month. Number two, we need to certainly pray and lift up and for Dwayne and Ella from our congregation as they go on their mission trip this week. They're already there in Canada, hopefully. And the others from association that are there with them. We need to remember all these folks in prayer this week. Deacons meeting today at 4 o'clock. And our next opportunity to worship together will be at 6 o'clock tonight. Pastor Jim is going to share with us from Genesis 28, so I encourage you to be here if you want a true blessing. Do we have any other announcements from anybody?
Johnny?
Yeah.
I don't know if some of y'all know Carol and Dale. She passed away this week.
Okay, Brian, thank you. If you didn't hear Brian, Carol and Neil, he's sharing with us, passed away this week. Okay, anybody else? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most graciously, Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of our time together this morning, we certainly want to thank you for this Lord's Day and for all our many, many blessings. We just thank you for each person here and the opportunity and freedom that we have to come together to worship. We just want to lift all our prayer concerns that we've mentioned up to you, Heavenly Father, those that we have spoken and those that we hold in our heart. And as always, Heavenly Father, we need to certainly continue to pray for our nation each day in troubled times. Pray for our church and pray for each other. And most of all, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for hearing our prayers and for the privilege of praying. In Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen.